So our first presenter is Kali Hood, and she is with the University of Wisconsin in Madison, where she is a Population Health Services Fellow with the University of Wisconsin Population Health Institute. Kali?
Good afternoon. Thank you for coming to our session. We'll try to make it as interesting as possible. I think that worked. So I used Prezi, which sort of broke the rules, and it's been a technological nightmare. So bear with me if this doesn't work. But thank you, Sue. My name is Carly Hood. I am a Population Health Service Fellow through the University of Wisconsin. I'm originally from Oregon, born and raised there and currently living in Wisconsin. I studied economics in undergrad, just to give you a little bit of context, and then traveled for 3 or 4 years before pursuing my master's in Madison. And so both my travels, my economics degree, and my master's in public policy and public health have really informed sort of a systems level look at things, which I think you'll see in this presentation. I'm not incredibly detail-oriented, but so much of my work does focus on connecting social policy to health outcomes, and today I'm going to talk a little bit about what we're doing at the Wisconsin Division of Public Health to increase capacity to promote health equity. So I have no relationships to disclose. So what impacts health? This is one of my favorite models, and it's constructed by the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation's County Health Rankings Project. And what I want to emphasize is that literature continues to show that 40% of health outcomes are driven by the social and economic determinants, and 10% by our physical environment. And so it's the power and the large level scope of these determinants and underlying issues and the far-reaching impact that they have on health that really drive the reason I find them incredibly important to focus on. So that means that at least half of health outcomes are a result of what we call the social determinants of health. That's a very common word in public health now, but those are things like poverty and income, education, housing, and even further upstream, things like racism and discrimination, sexism and classism, and how those play into the social determinants of health. So in Wisconsin, you can see that the general health of Wisconsin adults by income level is increasingly better as income levels increase. So an individual is more likely to self-report good health if they have higher levels of income. Alternately, they are more likely to report being in fair or poor health as their income level falls. And we see similar levels, similar trends when we look at educational attainment. So knowing these things, what do we do about it? To start any sort of intervention, you have to understand what's going on. So working with staff at the Division of Public Health in the Bureau of Community Health Promotion, I constructed a plan to look at what programs within that bureau are doing to address health equity and health disparities. These programs include arthritis, diabetes, heart disease and stroke, nutrition, physical activity and obesity, oral health, maternal and child health, and family and women's health. So it's a very cross-cutting and large bureau. This evaluation included an environmental scan with key informant interviews and surveys. I then worked with the Minority Health Program and the evaluator within our bureau to construct a plan to really look at how we're impacting health equity and health disparities in Wisconsin. And in February, we launched a curriculum that was 5 modules, and I'll get to that in just a moment. But we just finished the 4th module, and we started the 5th module 2 weeks ago. So we're at the very tail end of this pilot phase. It's been a year-long curriculum, and we've provided space and time throughout for staff to evaluate and provide feedback on what's worked and what hasn't for them. Baseline data were collected, as I said, from 8 key informant interviews with program coordinators. 7 epidemiologists completed an all-staff survey, or annual survey rather, and 55 staff completed questions that pertain to health equity and health disparities on the all-staff survey. And just to give you a little bit of background on what our key findings were, we saw that the all-staff survey indicated less than a third of staff felt extremely or very confident in talking about health equity and health disparities. And another way to look at this, and the more positive silver lining spin that I tried to take, was that at least 75% of staff felt moderately comfortable. So that suggested a readiness in terms of starting these conversations. The key data that programs use to identify the disparities within their programmatic work are race, ethnicity, geographic location, and income or poverty. And I think that's pretty typical across the country, but what the curriculum that we developed really tried to get people to think about was how to include things like data on education or data on housing statistics or data on sexual orientation, so that we're including a broader array of groups when we talk about disparities. Additionally, staff listed 41 partners external to the Division of Public Health that were engaged in health equity work, but only four of those were common across programs. So what I heard from that is that there are a lot of groups and a lot of coalitions potentially working on these issues, but they're not necessarily talking to each other. And so we have a broad base, but if we want to engage everyone and continue to move forward on some of these issues, we need to try to be a little bit more collaborative. Only one third of those interviewed said their strategic plan or guiding documents included health equity language, which I found sort of alarming. And 75% of the program coordinators that I interviewed listed professional development as a key need for their staff in moving forward on health equity issues. And 50% of those listed professional development as a top need. So what we took away with understanding was staff are really, really saying we need to learn a bit more, we need to have these discussions in order to move forward with these initiatives. So from those results, they really informed the curriculum development that we started back in February. And we had an average of, for the last four modules, we've had an average of probably 10 to 15 individuals in attendance per session. That's ranged depending on what the session was, but we've engaged roughly 15 people per session. And the curriculum is based on NACHO's Roots of Health Inequity online web course. How many of you have seen that? Just a couple. Okay, it's a free resource. It is awesome. There are so many resources embedded inside of it. So if you haven't seen it, I suggest you look at it. But those are based on five modules. So the first one is, where do we start? Providing sort of a broad overview of health equity and what it means. The second module is perspectives on framing. So how do we talk about the issue across party lines or across different audiences? How do we frame it? The third module was a look at public health history. So how it's evolved and why it looks the way it does today. The fourth is root causes. So looking again at those social determinants of health that play a big part in health outcomes. And then the last one is social justice, so looking at public health as a foundation for a better society. Each module took place over about a month and a half and had five components. And in general, they required 5 to 6 hours of staff time to complete. So we had an in-group video that we would watch together. We had an in-group activity where staff were more engaged in talking to each other. We had a community organization presentation for each module, so a group working on health equity issues within the community would come in and talk to our staff about the work that they were doing on the ground. And then we finished with an in-group discussion, trying to pull all those pieces together. And then while all four of those were happening along that entire period of time, staff were encouraged to do the online portion that I just discussed and a reading. So there was an independent piece as well. So in addition to that online piece, the videos that we watched included unnatural causes and the roots, the Race, the Power of an Illusion video series. Both of those are through the California Newsreel. We used the Prevention Institute's Health Equity Primer video series, which is also a free resource, and then used tools from the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation's A New Way to Talk About Health Equities. And then I received input from the Minority Health Program for the state, the Wisconsin Center for Health Equity, which is one of my placement sites through my fellowship, and management at the Division of Public Health. So the benefits of participation are aplenty. It provides a safe space for talking about the many facets of health equity, which can be a very sensitive topic. It caters to all learning styles. So for those people who didn't feel particularly comfortable discussing things outwardly, there was an online space to sort of engage in some of the conversations. It allowed for partial completion. So if staff couldn't complete a whole module this year, potentially next year, there's time and space for them to do it. It was discussion-based, so it tied together thoughts that they may have had based on the online piece or a video or something they heard from the community presentation. It allowed staff to engage with others within the Bureau, which we found was particularly helpful. Our Bureau is very large, as I mentioned, and had just undergone a reorganization, so we were sort of spread throughout the building. And tobacco went upstairs, and maternal and child health went downstairs. So this particular training allowed staff from different programs to know they could come continually every other Thursday to talk about health equity issues initially, but it was a safe space to engage in other conversations as well. And then lastly, it allowed staff to tie their work to our state health plan, Healthiest Wisconsin 2020, which has two overarching focus areas that are very health equity related. The first is health disparities, and the second is social, economic, and educational factors that impact health. So the results, the latest module results indicate an increase in confidence discussing health disparities or health equity, an increase in the level of knowledge about the root causes of health inequities, an increase in sharing across programs, and an increase in high impact on the work individual programs are doing. So we are seeing a lot of positive feedback based on the training thus far. And again, we do have one module left, so we'll evaluate that. These are just some of the things that attendees have written into the evaluations that we've given thus far. And interestingly, one thing that I've continued to notice and that I've heard from partners around the country doing similar work, those whose managers or section chiefs or leadership said, this is something that I encourage you to go to, it's necessary for you to attend this, we saw really high levels of engagement in the process and high levels of participation. And those who didn't have managers talking about this or promoting it didn't come. So that really showed the importance of leadership buy-in in this process. And change strategically the way that it can be adapted and molded. So going forward, I've worked with our evaluator to construct a post-module evaluation. So those results I just shared with you, after every module, staff have completed that. In addition, in January, when the whole program is completed, we'll do a post-program evaluation, and I will follow up 6 months post-program to do key informant interviews again to find out what staff are thinking and feeling about the process. We'll also continue to assess programmatic work and how priorities and language are potentially changing through surveys that we continue to give annually. And then based on the information, the training can be tweaked to better fit staff needs. And I just met last week with another bureau director who said, I want this for my bureau. So we're in the process of thinking about how to expand it to a different bureau with different staff and different needs. So to recap quickly, I'm a logic model freak. So this logic model started, I really just sat down with a scratch piece of paper and said, you know, I need some outputs here. What's going to happen? Who's going to do it? And when is it going to be done by? And that was simply a way to sort of get things on paper and process it and hold people accountable. We then developed the survey, delivered it, created a curriculum together. And then I utilized a lot of tools in the development of that curriculum. I certainly was trying not to invent the wheel. So, there's a lot out there already in terms of health equity training. Michigan State and Alameda County in California were very helpful with that. And then again, we're at the implementation and evaluation phase for that. And in the long run, I had to think really hard about measurable goals and where we wanted to take this. But as I mentioned, being a systems level thinker, I tried really hard to think about how I could engage the public health colleagues around me to think about what really is driving poor health outcomes. And based on the literature, we're continuing to see more and more that it is these larger systemic issues. So institutionalizing some sort of health equity training or having that lens be brought to every program's work was really important at the outset. So that's been a long-run objective at the far end of my logic model. And we're trying really hard to link the results of this training and staff evaluation to FAB accreditation for the state. So that's been one of our long-term objectives as well. And we again also hope that this training is increasing internal understanding of what really drives health and how the messages that we give externally as a state health department and in working with our partners reflect those larger issues. So that's all from me, and I guess we'll hold questions till the end. Thank you.